service Sunday, exactly, Wednesday, at 8 p.m. This is what we want you to do. We counsel you not to miss the time together. But not only that, you have to come expecting. You have to come expecting. You have to believe what God has said. You have to also put confidence and trust in the people that God has set up. So if God is sharing things through your leadership, you need to pay attention to it. It's not something that we, something that you need to put your heart into and allow God. Of course, God is always the one who gives utterance within us. But he's not the type of individual that forces anyone. He came and he died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. But because God doesn't force anyone or twist them by his arm to receive him, right? And because then if I offer you a gift, you know, and you don't want to receive that gift, you know, to force you to take the gift, you know, then it won't be right. So we have to respond. We have a responsibility, a duty, and a place in God to respond to God. Normally, it is always the goodness of God that causes us to respond. And so, a lot of times, we need to create an environment so that we can hear from God. You know, when you hear from God and then when you receive from God, it's a different story altogether. It's different than somebody else telling you something. Because it's a reaction and a response that's within you that, that causes you to reach out and to respond to Him. So, shared with you before about why would this happen? Well, it would happen because it's God's desire. That's number one. And it would happen because of God's timing. And number three, it would happen because God's people. Now, the second, Spirit of God moves in the setting, and one person receives, and the other person doesn't receive. Something happens to one person, and that does not happen to the next person. And they're both in the same place, standing in the same presence. You don't know why that happens. Well, it happens simply because, you know, some people are in a place of expectation. Some people believe, some people don't. And there was a woman who when Jesus was walking, and he had a story with the woman with the issue of blood. Out of all those people that were around Jesus and touching him, and, you know, because, you know, he's a celebrity, they want to get a piece of it. So they all were gathered around him, and yet there was only one woman who was able for him to make the statement, "Someone touched me." You know, the disciples were thinking, "Oh, Lord, are you losing it? There are all these people around you. They're touching you. What do you mean that someone touched me?" He says, No, I'm talking about a special touch. I'm talking about someone who has drawn from the anointing that is upon my life. See, and that woman did. And as a result, she got something that she was trying to get in years, 12 more years, she was trying to get. But there was a time of completion. There was a time of divine order. There was a time of covenant. A That's what that number call signifies. And so at that particular point in time, she was able to draw from God and get what she was trying to get for years. So that's what you have to come with, that type of expectation. But I've been standing, and I've been standing, and I've been believing, and I've been, you know, I don't think this thing is working. Well, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Continue to expect. You will let the enemy rob you. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Don't let him steal from you. Don't let him kill, and don't let him destroy. Amen? So, you have to expect. And, how many of you are expecting? Amen. Amen. God will not disappoint us. One other thing I want you to make sure everyone that you know that is sick, anyone that you know that is broke, bring them. Anyone that you know that is having problems with their relationship, bring them. No matter what the problem is, bring them. And service in the 12th. I shared with you last week that we had looked at Mark Archery's ministry. He was doing basically what he had shared was basically what God had shared with us. And we felt that, okay, it would be better for us to join with them and know what they're doing. And, see, it wasn't a bit, you know, people, you know, some folks are funny, and some folks are, you know, so. Right. I was interrupted. And so let me get back to where I Archery's ministry. Okay. He has explained that, of course, 12-12-12 is a period of time that only occurs once every 100 years. You know, it was not long ago that when they had the Assyrian Street revival in the move of God, that there was a prophetic word during that time that God would visit again within 100 years. We're in 100 years. And then he says, this is some kind of prophecy in 100 years of God. Yeah, well, sometimes we deal, because we are creatures of time, you know, we're always stripping our time, you know, I'm getting too old, God is passing me by, you know, we're not, this is something to do, or he says something to us, you know, we look at the time, we figure, well, you know, I've been doing this thing, nothing is manifesting, you know, we're creatures of time, so we're always looking, basically, you know, at that. And, 12-12 is the as a scribe, was a scribe as an apostle. Where, again, the scribe, you know, would never begin until the Messiah begins. And so when God opens up the window, so to speak, to do something specific or special during this time. And so, you know, we know that God is always ready, and God is always willing. You know, the problem is that most people need to be in that position of expectation. You know, we need to position ourselves so that we can receive from God. And so that's what we're looking to do. We're joined with your ministry. Here is what we're asking you to do. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to do this today. We shared it up. I mentioned this last Sunday, but we said we spoke about it Tuesday. And we asked for you to prepare a seed. A seed, and what we explained to you before, for those of you who recall, we talked about four types of giving. And this is spoken of in the Word. We talked about the tithing, and the tithing basically is the motivation behind that is simply obedience. It shows our reverence for the Lord, our reverential fear of the Lord, our daily dependence upon Him. The second one is the first fruits, and then the motivation behind that is generosity. Okay, generosity. The third type of giving is almsgiving, where you give to the poor. And that is really the motivation behind that is really compassion. And then the fourth is the seed. And the seed is usually the one that brings the 36 and a hundredfold. And the motivation behind that is faith and reward. See, when you give alms, when you give to the poor, you're not supposed to tell anyone. And you don't tell anyone because of the dignity of the one who's receiving. So normally when we receive an offering here and we receive an offering, we would say to you, well, we have a family that we want to bless. And we want to receive an offering, but we never tell you who the family is. We never bring the family up here. Because that doesn't do anything for the dignity of the family or the individual. You know, so that type of giving is what we do, basically in secret. We don't really do that openly. Then when we give the seed is what you're planting. The seed is usually what we use to name this new thing that we are believing for. You and I do it in the natural all the time. You know, when you're separating your money, you say, okay, this is my milk money. Maybe you want some milk out of it. This is my. Name whatever it is. Don't you do that? When you separate your money, what? Same principle. Just name it your seed. And so, to name your seed is not necessarily, that is not, someone says, well, you don't have to do that. God knows what you want anyway. You don't have to do that. If that was the girl's case, then the bottom of the thing is give. And it's not given unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, really good. But I don't want to tell us that. Someone says, well, when we see Jesus Christ, we get everything. And that is absolutely true. So why do we have to tell it? Well, again, it's your daily dependence upon God. Why would we have to give a first fruit offering? Why would we have to? And there are all the principles behind everything that we do. And God wants us to understand those principles. Okay, there are the reasons and the principles behind everything. And He wants us to understand them. And sometimes we don't understand them because we do it too study based on a proper focus. Our focus should always be the kingdom of God. Everything you and I do, that should be the perspective in which we live and work God is going. You know, so when you do these things, as you begin to function, you see that it becomes clearer. You begin to understand more and more as you go on. So, we have been a seed. We want you to name your seed. We're going to take the seed and we're going to sow the seed to the apostles' ministry. We are going to send our prayer request also. Now, because of the space of time, they are going to send us on the 12th also. And because of the space of time, we want you to be able to call in mind and put in your prayer request there. The reason why we want you to put your prayer request there also and put the same prayer request there, put it online. The reason why is because we're just joining our faith together with theirs. The apostle has mentioned that when he received the prayer request, he's going to put the prayer request basically, the prayer warriors and the church and brothers are going to be praying for these prayer requests, but it's going to include and some of the men of God that are more well known, like Dr. Mark Cirillo, Kerry Copeland, Gary Stone. One of those, Brother Maldonado, a lot of the brothers, you probably see a lot of these individuals on television. But they are all going to be joining their faith together and be praying for these prayer requests. And what they're going to do at the end of that prayer request, when they're going to have prayer points, and then they'll send a prayer point to you. Now, someone said, well, I don't believe in those gimmicks. Then don't do it. Simple. Okay? You know, you can find biblical operation of prayer cloths where even folks were touching Paul's garments and God was healing because the anointing really is something that is transferable. Sometimes we don't understand spiritual things all the way, so. But the anointing is transferable. When that lady touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he said, somebody touched me. The disciples couldn't understand that was a meaning. But she says, I felt virtue go out of me. That's the anointing. It's the anointing that came. So she was able to make a physical contact with that. That's all the prayer cloth is. We're going to join with them. They're going to be praying. We're going to be praying. You know. And then we're going to send the seed. We're going to name the seed. And whatever it is that you believe in God for, name it. Give your best offering. And your seed. And inside it, you're going to receive an offering today to do that. Instead, we're going to send it out as a ministry today. So we share this on Tuesday. For those of you who are here, I'm sure you came prepared to do that. Those of you who were not, I don't know if you're prepared or not, but we want to get that seed as a church to them. And when you receive the prayer cloth, you understand the prayer cloth. When you receive the prayer cloth, remember it's simply a point of contact. That's all it is. It's a point of contact. It's you joining together. If two of you shall agree on others touching anything, or you're touching something, it's a point of contact. It shall be done for you of my Father. That's Jesus' word. So, we would like you, if you would, to we'll give you the information to get it at the end of the service. It will be out in the foyer that you would get. is present for service. No. No, we're going to do all of this thing back to me. So that we can, I guess, the seed that we have spoken about. This was mentioned on Tuesday, so some people like probably can't prepare for it. Some people probably don't know. But yeah, we want to receive the seed. That seed, you are supposed to really name whatever the seed is. You name the seed. In other words, if you're believing for, if you've been living for, you know, that I've been praying for my loved ones for a long time, you know, then you write that prayer request and you say, Lord, you know, this giving of the seed is just an agreement, you know, a stamp of my, I'm being like Cornelius. I'm combining my prayer with my almsgiving. You know, for example, you know, I'm giving my offering also as a seed. See, you know, now, we don't understand this, so they think that they're bothering a miracle. But this, you know, again, you can't go into all this stuff. All I can say to you is that, you know, if you don't, if you've got an agreement with whatever, you don't believe this, then, you know, then don't do it. It wouldn't help. It wouldn't hurt you. Not to do it if you don't believe it. Should you name your seed individually? Okay? When we want you to call the ministry, let them know, you know, that what you've done, maybe familiar with what you've seen, but just go ahead and know what you've done and say your prayer request. And the reason for that is so that you can get the prayer cloth come directly to you. Or they may send it to the ministry that we can achieve, but they need to have your name and stuff like that so that they can actually put this on their prayer list and order. Okay? Say you with them, but you know, you just have to come expecting, believing what God is saying. Expect what He's going to do. definitely the most confusing of my time that I want to preach. Rather than preach, I'm going to share. So every time you when we have a Christmas service or we have a family service, we have either already preach or teach along those lines. So that was a kind of a Christmas message, so to speak, or a Thanksgiving message. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that sometimes I just continue to say more. About the same series, I'm just going to continue with that. But of course, there's nothing wrong with that. People use the seasons. Ministers use the seasons, which is a good thing to do. Also have a deep insulation. You're going to insulate that a bit more. A deep insulation at this moment. So, this idea has come up, and we're just going to do this with you could face the congregation, and then whatever we do, we'll go in front. And you have that such an effect that you can do for us. Yes.
to be cruel. But then I can use the office of the deacon, being found blameless. Deacon Shalom was there once, be brave, serious, not slanderers, sober, and faithful in all things. But the deacons be the husbands of one wife also, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that abuse the office of the deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. These things write I unto you, hoping to come into you shortly. So that's the office of the deacon.
Stand there before you, Father, to install our brothers and sisters as deacons and deaconesses. Father, we thank you for this man and this woman of God. We thank you that you lay out their path, Lord God. Father, your words are the steps of the righteous man, our Lord God the Lord. Father, we thank you for continuing to order those steps, Father, in everything that they do. We thank you, Father God, a good worker within the body. And we give you glory and honor and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody else for me? Thank you.
she said, I'm not going to talk about this church. I never came here to be the title, as I say. I came in here, I was just overwhelmed. Well, the pastor was giving up the years. I came here, and I was by myself. My wife was here, my children. I was just so happy for the Lord at that moment. You know, some of us come to the Lord when we're broken. Some of us come to the Lord when we have no other, result. But I didn't come happy. When I came to the Lord, I was on, as I said, a big time, you know. But there was something in my heart tugging me, saying, you know what, you got to get to know me. And there was a people here, many people in this church here. God put in my life, and it was amazing. You put this couple here, put this guy here, put this guy here. And different, it was in many more different areas in the world. And they happened to say, this is the church I have to be here. So God put them in the school. So like I said, I'm not coming to come to be a title, but I love to serve, I love to help out. I'm serving first of all as Christ was, and I'm looking forward to my fellow deacons and my deaconesses and my beautiful wife to work at home, saw you guys, and look at the vision that Pastor has in this church, that things get fulfilled and done. I really appreciate this opportunity, and that's it. I mean, my wife, she broke my finger while I was trying to get her. But she doesn't really say much, but she's very grateful, I know that. I thank God that it says husband to one wife, because it's too much else for me. I don't know. That's what I got to say. God bless you. Thank you, guys.
It was brought to our attention that he was installed at 12 o'clock. So the order of government and completion and divine order is an honor. What was your title again? Christmas and your assignment. Christmas and your assignment. That was the topic. There are two relevant books that we get there. Sharing some of this on Tuesday, one of the statements that I made was that Christmas is the fulfillment of divine promise. Christmas is a fulfillment of divine promise. The section I'm going to be reading from is Luke chapter 1. See, we are in this season, and we have this season every year. You know, Christmas, December, and of course, you know, we have all kinds of things that we associate or identify with Christmas. But as believers, I want us to recognize really that Christmas is really the fulfillment of a divine purpose. Purpose is always found in the mind of the Creator, the one who's creator, or the manufacturer, or the designer. And so in God's mind, Christmas then, he had a purpose in mind, and that purpose was to send or bring forth a son, and that son eventually would come to redeem mankind. So that's really the heart and the purpose of Christmas. time that he has. So he had a desire to redeem mankind, and so he fulfilled that desire by having Christmas, by sending his son into the world. But in the same way, your birth is a desire of something that God wants to fulfill in your lifetime. So as much as Christmas is about the Son who came, Christmas is also about the sons who came. You and I, we are the sons. Just as God had the set and definite purpose for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, so too he has a definite purpose for each and every one of us who become a believer or a child of God, who come into the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us. So, Christmas for you is about your assignment, your divine assignment. Yeah, Christmas is about your divine assignment. So what was the direction we read here, starting in Luke chapter 1? And I want to read from verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How dare I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, but he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in the seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." That's about Elizabeth. Then, in verse 36, it says, "In the 6th month, after the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, he came in Galilee, for the virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at this word, at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his people David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." the Lord to Sisera. And he answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left him. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in hell, a country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And then Mary went to tell her own little soul. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And now all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has set the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our father. And then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home. Everyone knows this story, or most people know this story, but there's an interesting thing in the story that a parallel to your life and my life. That is parallel to this time that we are in. It's a time that we can call the time of Christmas. You know, there's a special assignment that God has given to Mary, but there's also a special assignment that God has given to you. We are coming into the Spirit of God throughout the Spirit of time, and what God wants to do is that God wants to give you a breakthrough in the assignments that He has given to you. Things that you have been standing on and believing and believing and believing and speaking and standing on, you know, God wants to bring that breakthrough. This is the opportunity and the time for God to bring the breakthrough to you of the things that you have been believing for. Now, if you have not an expectation, it's not going to happen. I want to share basically some things along these lines, because if you look at Mary's life, if you look at what happened to Mary, you can make the parallel to your own life. As we said before, Christmas is the fulfillment of the divine promise. That is the fulfillment that God brought about because of His Son, Jesus, who He brought to redeem the world. But as important as the life of Jesus is, so too is your life important to God. In the same way that this occurred with Mary, God has something special and specific that He wants to accomplish with you. And so we would take a look at what happened with Mary and remember that all truth is parallel. And you begin to look at what happened with Mary, how you can compare it with what God intends to do with you. But you've got to follow the same principles that Mary followed. You see, one thing with Mary wasn't like Zechariah. See, Zechariah, when God came to him, sent the angel to him and said to Zechariah, you are a wife reason why it is impossible, because God intends for his divine and supernatural hand to be upon it so that it can be accomplished. But until you and I come to that place and see ourselves like Mary, if we don't see ourselves like Mary, we go through life continually doubting that it's not right that, well, you know, as long as we have that kind of mindset, you are right. It will not happen to us. So what will happen is that what God has designed you for, specifically, you are going to die with that thing bottled up on the inside of you, and then you are going to go to the grave, as many other people are, and you are going to make the grave the richest place in the world. Because the grave is filled with people God has put so much potential in them who never pull out their potential, and they die with all that stuff on the inside. But Mary was a little different. First things first. You must understand that you were brought here for a grand purpose. You didn't come here by accident. It doesn't matter if your mother and father had you illegitimately. If you were brought here because of a rape, see, because life in itself is determined by God. When a body is formed, then God takes a life, the life that is with him, and he sends a blessed of life into that womb. That's why God can say, before you were born, before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you. And when God puts you in that womb, he removes from your mind all the stuff that you know, so now you come a baby, and now you have to grow up. It's the same way that was done with Jesus. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. But when he came into the womb, he didn't come into the womb as God. He came into the womb as he was born as a person. So all the knowledge that God had, Jesus did have. Not because he couldn't have access to it, but that was the way that God designed it. The same thing when God puts you in the womb. When he bubbles the body full, he puts you in there. He puts you in there for a divine purpose. You ought not to go to your grave without fulfilling what God has for you. You are brought here as a divine assignment for a divine purpose. You, when you came into the world, you were in a situation like Mary, when God put in you an expectation, a word that comes. See, most of us never discover the word, but those of us who discover the word, you know, the first thing you do with that word is always an impossibility. So when God puts an assignment in you, when he says something to you, the first thing that comes to your mind is like that guy. That's impossible. For me? You know, God has a way of doing things like that. One day, there was this man, the Philistines, who actually taking advantage of the Israelites. And every time the Israelites would have their houses, the Philistines would come and take all of them. And so, one day, this man named Gideon was hiding. And he saw the Philistines coming, so he was hiding from the Philistines. And then, there was someone behind him, an angel. And then the angel said to him, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Gideon looked at him. Shh. Philistines, look at him. Imagine that, right? The mighty man of valor, here he's hiding from the Philistines. Well, that's to my gosh, also about you. Don't you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ? Don't you know that God has big and great things for you to do? Don't you know that in Christ I assure you somebody? Don't you know that you are a son of the living God? Don't you know that you were created for a divine purpose? Can you receive that? Can my wife speak? That's what happens. But when he speaks to us, we are like Gideon. What God does that, if God expects you, when he coordinates you with that, he expects you, first of all, to receive it. That's why when you come Wednesday, if you have no expectation, what the better you feel?
Thank you.
it where he was. He knows it precise time. When he speaks of 12, he's speaking of the time of completion. He's speaking of a time of his divine order. He's speaking of a time of his divine government. He knows that before the Holy Spirit could come, he had to have 11 disciples become 12. Because 12 is the number of order, divine order, and completion. So he had to have 12. So they had lots. They need 2 lots. And they got the fire. And he was staying with the 12 so that the day of Pentecost could fully come. God is a God of order. He's a God of completion. This number 12 is talking about that. Listen. Expect it, you can receive it. Because God has taken the wealth of the unjust. He said that they would go and they'll keep it up, but they'll keep it up, but the righteous will put it on. Now, why would the righteous be putting on that stuff? Because the righteous will have their minds set in order, and they would know the purpose of the things that are given to them. If you don't know the purpose of the thing, you'll abuse it. That's why God had to wait for the fullness of time. That's why all these years you and I have been preaching and declaring and speaking, and we have to wait. Because we were not prepared. You know, I was listening to something just the other day. You know, they said 78% of all the athletes who had all these big contracts, they were broke in 5 years. Making millions of dollars, and in 5 years, they were broke. You know why? Because they got out of their comfort zone, so to speak, got out of their element. And so, then they said, just get by, let's do this. They say, oh, I've never done that before, I'm going to do this. They didn't know the purpose for the one that they had. So they grew in them. They lost it. 78%. If you don't know the purpose of the thing, you will give it. The same thing that God's people, God is not going to come and dump a whole money into your hands and you don't know how to have that. That's why it says, if you are faithful in the little, then I'll give you more. You can take care of your own house, then I can give you more. You know what God said? Is this Bible? And I said, yes, right? But you always have. Somebody who wants to steal what you got. In the scripture, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You have someone who is going to steal. First of all, what he wants you to do is when God comes and puts that baby in you, he wants to get you to abort that baby. That's the first thing that they want to do. That's what the enemy does. He wants you to abort that baby. One way that you can abort a baby is if you eat stuff that is not agreeable. Is that true? You can eat or drink stuff that can cause you to lose your baby. You may have a baby in a long time now that's not like it ever happened. Because that's exactly what the enemy says to you. But I'm going to find it. I'm going to keep you so busy. assume it. Just an opinion. All that stuff affects your baby. So you have to be in an environment that will protect. This is your assignment. This is your operation to the world. You're going to bring this baby into this world, and you're going to care for this until he gets the age. And I'm going to do this for you because he is going to redeem the world. Very important assignment. Your assignment is important too. But you know, Mary, when you leave him in the environment, those people are going to say to you, you have a baby and you're not even married. They're going to want to stone you. They're going to want to kill you. They're going to take you out and they're going to stone you. Because you had a baby. You are unfaithful. You know, my brother, we don't read that stuff directly in the Word. But I can imagine what Mary went through. Because her generation at that time was different than our time. See, at that time, we don't care much. We didn't have much for a while. She's pregnant, girl, come over here. So I said, hallelujah, she's pregnant, girl. And you can have a society, we don't care much. But back then, that's not because the Holy Spirit has not come. But God, you told me this. I'm just standing somewhere, I haven't seen anything yet. You would think that if this was really for you, you should see something about a decision, but now. You know, but the manifestation that I need you to see, first of all, is a manifestation of peace. You've got to be in such a place now, Mary, did this come from God? Of course, the angel came to me. Did you get pregnant without knowing the man? Of course, they don't know that man, but you do. I didn't know you were any man. So once you know that man, it doesn't matter what they say. Once you know what God has done to you, then you know that God is in this working thing through you and through you. Where all the is that he's always going to try to talk you out of what God has said to you. He's always going to try to talk you out of what you're saying. He's going to try that you can listen. A lot of the things that they say are legitimate things. Stuff, right? But God is changing you. You can't see with those eyes. You've got to know what is happening to you. You've got to know that if you have been impregnated by God in a supernatural way, you are created by telling you lies. And why so many people give up on God? Because they've never really been impregnated by God. These are the subtleties that we're trying to follow that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about that experience with God. That's why, see, when you go through your stuff, you can stand the darkness because you know, listen, Mary knew that she didn't sleep with anybody. She knew that. So she could stand. She could believe, hey, I'm pregnant. How did this thing come? Because it was more than me. Can you follow me here? Don't you see when God speaks to you? When God talks to you with an assignment, and he puts it on inside of you, he can see that nothing can turn you away from that thing. Well, let me finish this. Not only situation, but God gets you away from this. Environment, into a right environment, your only thing is to know how and when to deliver this. And you know, all things are equal. She couldn't deliver the baby until the baby was full grown, until the time was right. But the time had to be right. Just like Jesus couldn't come into this world until the time was right. Just like God could not have impregnated that person until the time was right. Just like you cannot get your breakthrough until the time is right. See, but God did tell you to stand. God did tell you to sow your seed. God did tell you to confess your word. God did tell you to stand. Did he? When he told him to stand, don't ask him how long. Just keep standing. Keep declaring, keep standing, keep declaring. The gathering of those who have the same mind, but if you don't, others are going to talk you out of your stuff. They're going to forget you to approach your baby. Should be a reminder to you. This is supernatural. Christmas should be a reminder to you that this is my divine destiny. This is my divine purpose. Christmas is a reminder. This is the one. This is the inside of me. Merry Christmas. And called Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Have you heard the news? You stay here, you haven't abandoned. You might have a problem with something, but you have not abandoned. Now it's time to stir it up. Stir it up. Now, rather than stir it up because you have your own hope to deliver it. It's time to stir it up. Stir it up. Not one thing about it. One thing about a baby when the baby is ready to come, you're ready to step in. Is that true? When the baby is ready, you might not be ready, but the baby is ready. Baby's coming. I want to know about that. I wish two of my kids to be gone. Because the baby was ready, they were ready. And I wasn't ready. So I'm in the elevator. It's time. And, walked in. We went to the medical office. And I was sitting there, and I'm not realizing what's going on. My wife is. And then suddenly she just couldn't take this anymore. She said, she was saying, "Come on!" or something like that. Saying this, if the baby is not, if the baby is ready, you better be ready. Listen, the time is ready. You better be ready. Come on, we have to be ready. Listen. If you look at the news, if you look at the newspaper, and you look, you can look at that stuff and say, "No, it's got to be time." Can you see that? This is our time. I want you to come expecting. I'm telling you, I want you to come expecting. So when I ask, "Oh, what was the service going to be like?" I don't know. All I know that I'm coming here, and when I come here, whatever takes place, God is going to let it be seen. I don't know. I am just coming expecting. I'm in the union. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. You say, "What are you expecting?" I'm expecting. Thank you. Thank you.